numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's radio's Gil Alexander, everybody. That's radio's Kelly Bidlin. How you doing, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. Did you have Pote Geeter?
No, I had Max Grazerman. I had to watch him miss 72 putts.
Yeah.
I shouldn't really be complaining. Pote Geeter could have ended it sooner, too. Nobody could make a putt down the stretch.
Yeah, but Grazerman had 100 tries at it. Yeah.
18 would have been nice. Sorry. He was doing a good job of making things outside of 15 feet and within 5 feet, Gil, but that old 5 to 15 range, oof.
Sorry about that, man.
It's okay. Would have been nice to hit back-to-back, but we talked about it last week. You get these birdie fests going. They're not huge investments for me anyways, but an outright hit is an outright hit. It got to a point where there was at least only two of them. The three-man playoff is always tricky when people ask me about hedging golf bets and everything. Look, I hedge probably more than what a lot of people do in other sports with golf outrights. But when you go to a three-man playoff, there's not really much you can do. In my opinion, like, there's not really much you should do with your ticket then. But Kirk went out early. Then it was down to the final two. Then I was able to hedge off a little bit cleaner. So, still a good week.
Well, not on the leaflet quite yet. Max Grazerman. Today on the show, Wes Reynolds will join us to talk golf and other things that he is betting, as is always the case here on Mondays. We'll chat up the AFC East in honor of our NFL betting guide coming out tomorrow, the first day of July tomorrow, last day of June today. You know what that means? That means we got to look at July most wins Major League Baseball today. We'll do that in about, 15 minutes, maybe less. Talk MLB July wins as June has been determined. June is donezo.
Over.
The Houston Astros, back-to-back June titleists.
Where were they hanging that banner?
They didn't show the champagne celebration after the game yesterday.
That's
which
so
was very
weird.
Interesting. I don't know why they didn't do that.
Wow.
Paul Sporer on baseball as well. And it is the beginning of Wimbledon, by the way. I'm going to repeat a joke that Drew made on the podcast when he and I were both wearing white and Zach wasn't. Code violation, Kelly Bidlin not wearing white at Wimbledon today.
Yep, sorry.
All right, close though. Nice try.
It was kind of close.
All right, I started with 7 plays today on day 1 of Wimbledon. The difference between the French Open and Wimbledon is the French Open spreads the first round over 3 days. Wimbledon doesn't. It's over 2 days, and there's just so many matches to handicap. I ended up with 7, 3 on the men's side, 4 on the ladies' side. 2 have started already. Roberto Bautista Agut, who's in the 4th set right now against Cam Nori. That is ongoing. And then Jacob Fearnley is a big dog against Joao Fonseca. That has begun as well. But the 5 remaining plays, 1 on the men's side, Jan-Lennard Struff, got him at -133, taking on Filip Mišolić. That's in a bit. And you know how tennis matches go. You don't know exactly when they're going to start. But Struff has yet to begin. That's the remaining one on the men's side. And then on the ladies' side, all 4. And again, these are available for everybody who's a subscriber, VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every sport. I know Zach's probably got a bunch of tennis plays as well. But I got 4. Olga Danilovich at -143 is the big favorite over Shuai Zheng. That is the one favorite I have. Yanina Wickmeyer. Don't understand why she's a dog here against Renata Sarasua. You know all about the Wickmeyer-Sarasua rivalry, don't you?
Oh, man. Anytime I see those two names on the odds board, Gil, I go, how could Wickmeyer possibly be an underdog in this situation?
And then 2 dogs, one of which is Monster. Talia Gibson, +536 against Naomi Osaka. You want a big dog? You got a huge dog day 1.
Back to, is this more of a fade of Osaka or more of a play on Gibson?
It's both. It's Osaka hasn't really done anything here to merit being such a colossal favorite, and Gibson has some success on the surface. And then the other one, and I called this one on the podcast sight unseen, was Katerina Siniakova +141 against Zheng Xinwen. By the way, there have already you say, wow, you've got Osaka and Zheng Xinwen losing. There's already been upsets at Wimbledon this morning. On the ladies' side, Yelena Ostapenko, goodbye
really?
Already. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Her surface is mainly clay, but she has good grass numbers. She's done. And then by walkover, your favorite way to end a tennis match, Ons Jabeur is done. Poor girl with the injuries. But on the men's side, big upset this morning. Benjamin Bonzi already takes down Daniil Medvedev. So the upsets happen.
Daniil. What was Jabeur's story? She was coming back from injury or something?
She's had so many injuries over time. Yeah, right. She's been a Wimbledon finalist before. Famously, I think Drew had her at like 33-1 one year. That was the year Rybakina beat her.
So I was like, I don't want to put words in our guest's mouth, but I feel like it was Drew or Zach saying like, well, I think if you could, I think she might be someone I'd consider more if I could trust the injury stuff a little bit more, but apparently not.
And by the way, the two futures again that I have, I didn't end up doing anything on the men's side because it's so top heavy with Alcaraz and Sinner, but I did end up playing two outrights on the ladies' side. No surprise. Iga, 9-1 to win Wimbledon. You asked me last week. My surprise that she's around 10-1. I understand why. Hasn't been her year, but she has shown grass prowess. 9-1. You won't get that price very often on her. The five-time Slam winner, and then Maddie Keys trying to win her second Slam of the year at 18-1. Got her, but she's got a dicey match this morning against Elena Gabriela Ruse already. So those are the tennis plays. Two futures, both on the ladies' side, and then the seven matches today. Visa.com/picks. If you're looking for the tennis picks, as I noticed this last night, six of the seven got on the, you know, when you go to the picks page, it's everybody's picks cascading in real time.
Yeah, it's just in chronological order, right?
So six of my seven got on there. A seventh, and only the seventh, got under the tennis category. So it's a little janky. You have to click on that. We'll try to work on that. But you got to click on at least a couple things last night you did.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're not seeing, or you don't think you're seeing everything on that main page, either go to the person specifically or the sport specifically. That usually helps out a bit.
Yeah. Sorry about that. We'll make sure that gets corrected there.
What real quick before we move on, just thoughts on the men's futures overall. I know you, Zach, and Drew did the podcast on Friday. So everybody should listen to that.
Beating the Book podcast.
Alcaraz +120, Sinner 2-1, Djokovic +650, everybody else 18-1 or longer. Is your kind of approach wait and see here on the men's side?
My approach is I wouldn't play. I mean, it's Alcaraz and Sinner. I think they're playing in the finals. So I don't think there's a play on in the outright market. And I was hoping for the big theme for me, both on the men's and the ladies' side, was I was hoping for prices that I didn't get. So like Alexander Bublik, for instance, I'm like, oh boy, where's he at?
Right.
And he ends up in the Djokovic quarter with Jack Draper as well. And Alex de Minaur, just to name a few, which isn't the worst thing in the world, but it's a top heavy quarter. But even in the quarter, he was only like +350. So I'm like, well, I'm not playing that. There could have been a price that I would have played there. And will I play him in the outright at 40-1? No, I won't, because I don't think he's winning the whole thing, as great as he is on grass. But there was a lot of that, like Alexandrova on the ladies' side. What's the price? Oh, it's not nearly as good as I thought it would
right,
be.
Yeah.
So they're kind of on it. And grass is tricky, as we've said many times. It's only a five-week season. Wimbledon is 40% of the entire grass season, in other words, the fortnight of Wimbledon. So the data is not as robust. Usually I do 1 year and six-month data. With grass, you have to do 2 years and 1 year because there is no six-month really of any robust nature. And you know how two-year data is. It's not very meaningful sometimes. So you look at it, but, you know, over the course of 2 weeks, you'll do better watching players get the knack for the grass than any data will show you on grass, my opinion.
Okay, I got two other questions for you on this. Yes, so, sir. Hardest to handicap heading into the tournament and then most variance within a tournament, is that is the answer to both of those for you Wimbledon or Australian Open beginning of the season, is that tougher?
Wimbledon still.
Okay, still Wimbledon.
Yeah,
okay.
Because it's like... Let's go play golf on glass now, and then you tell me who's going to win.
Is Australian Open the second though? Because it's the beginning of the season. Okay.
It's a little quirky because
beginning of the season.
Unlike golf, tennis season starts and it's like slam time.
Yeah.
So that would be second, but and French and U.S. Open are the best, traditionally speaking. But that's the problem with this, is it's more of a knack than anything to play on this grass
and be mindful of upsets happen at Wimbledon, right? Like this is.
Upsets happen at Wimbledon. We've had wacky winners at Wimbledon. Again, Vondrousova, your girl, 2 years ago, right? Grigikova last year.
Barbora.
Barbora, correct. I know how much you love the name. That's right. And then the French Open is the most sort of favorite heavy, where the, you know, clay gets the numbers right in the betting market. So the upsets are, in terms of match play, is the fewest traditionally.
Okay,
and of then the slams.
I'm going to pull a Gil question on you. If I told you it wasn't,
oh my God,
Alcaraz, Sinner, or Djokovic winning the men's side? Who's winning the men's side, Gil?
Let's just say Novak Djokovic for historical purposes.
Oh, no, I wiped him off the board too. Without top three.
Oh, you wiped him off.
Yeah. You can't have it. It's not Alcaraz, it's not Sinner, and it's not Djokovic.
I'll say Alexander Bublik in a hilarious turn of events, where a guy who like openly screams at clay, right? This is stupid surface. Why do we play on this? And a guy who is prone to, has a penchant for underhand serves when you least expect it.
Ooh.
He's a showman. Kazakhstani. I will say him.
Okay. All right. I like it.
I'll say him. Yeah.
Now, a showman for a showman's sake, or like Nick Kyrgios showman, like I'm quitting.
He's a less sinister Kyrgios.
Okay. I can get on board with that.
Yeah. I personally love watching him and laugh openly when he's playing at times.
All right.
Whereas Kyrgios, you always feel like he's one corner away from throwing a tantrum.
Right. You're laughing until you're yelling. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's been tournaments with Kyrgios where you're like, oh boy, here goes. Like, I remember there was one in D.C. where you're like, and the fans aren't safe, the ump's not safe, nobody's safe. Anyway, let's see if we can get a good start to Wimbledon in those seven picks. And again, we'll work on the picks page to make sure it's all more streamlined. We got to talk Malik Beasley. But first, MLB, most wins, month of July. And we'll go through our 9-month history of this as well. On the other side, it's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're serious about winning this football season, the Visa NFL Betting Guide is your first real edge, and it comes out tomorrow. It's packed with in-depth previews of all 32 teams, season win total breakdowns, best bets from trusted VSiN experts, player props, and betting projections. Everything you need to bet smarter all season long. Kick off your season with confidence. Get full access to every VSiN betting guide, daily best bet emails, and exclusive content through the Super Bowl, all for just $175. Your smartest NFL season bet starts now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Was in San Francisco this weekend, Kelly Bidlin, and... you know what I ended up watching 75 episodes of, or 148 episodes of? I can't really count.
Hey, you got to leave town to watch 75 episodes of something.
Well, you know what it is? Because Gracie is now 18 years old. You know what she's obsessed with?
What?
Love Island. Have you heard of this show?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What did, was it Jared Smith I saw posting this on Twitter? One of the sports books here in town threw it on. When is it on live? Sunday nights?
Oh, I have no idea. It's just that they have it on every night. It's not like, you know, reality shows we think are weekly, right? That's how we're metered to,
right?
That's how we're conditioned.
Dude, you can teach me so much about this, because I feel like I see it on every streaming service. I don't really know what the show is. Oh, I don't know when it's on.
I can't teach you that much. All I know is that she asked me, Grace asked me.
Let me guess, it's hot people living on an island, seeing if they'll work out or not.
It's hot young men and women on an island. First of all, they're on Fiji, but you never get to see anything of Fiji because they're just in their little spot in Fiji.
Oh, so maybe this is like a Baywatch situation. They're not even there.
And they keep bringing in new, what do they call them? Oh, I can't remember, but new hot people, right?
Hot contestants.
To mess up with the old hot people's couples, right? And they have like these challenges, and they basically eat all of each other's faces. It's imagine what you grew up, what you were considered to be like soft pornish stuff. This is way worse than that. Anyway.
Wait. So Gracie has to be 18 now to watch it?
Is that a household rule? No. She just decided that by the way, it's so different from me watching something like this with my parents. If it was with my parents, I'd be like, hell, so I'm going to go now. right? I would want nowhere around my parents. Yeah, right. But she's so cool. Like, you could just watch it with her, and she's so perfect and light with her comments, you know, about it. And it's so much fun watching with her, but it's just...
Well, good.
It's
interesting
on,
bonding experience.
It's on every single night. There's like 37 episodes a season of this. And I asked her, I go, so who determines the winner?
That's
she goes, it's just one couple standing at the end.
I mean,
and like fans vote on it and stuff.
I guess I hadn't really thought about it all that much, but this is like the what was that? Remember that little like trivia game that was going on for that was really popular for like a year, like HQ or something
Right. Said on your phone during the pandemic,
and they were doing it like every day. Yes. I think it started a little bit before the pandemic, yeah. And then it rolled. And you do this stuff every day, and you kind of thought back then, you're like, well, this is a game show, but like time doesn't matter anymore because you can just put it on a phone, like. Reality TV shows. You don't need to do once a week because we just stream everything now. So whatever you do it, you do it throughout.
It's incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, no artful way to segue to Major League Baseball most wins in month by month.
But we're going to do it anyway. This video now.
June, once again, Astros defending champion, repeat champs. The Astros at Caesars, by the way, for those asking, 33-1 pre-flop to win June. Not for 1 second did I consider them. 33-1 pre-flop at Caesars. I don't know what they were at Circa, because when I saw the Tigers price at Circa, I was so upset with it that I didn't like have the wherewithal to actually take a screenshot. But the Astros, 33-1, they've clinched. There is one more day in June, but Rays, Dodgers, Brewers, none of them can catch them. Astros 19-7 is how they close the month of June with a plus 32 run differential. Their one run record in the month of June, and this is really all you have to know. 8-0. If you go 8-0 in one run games in a month, in a calendar month, you're probably going to win that month. 19-7. Rays were the only team that could have caught them at the end. 17-9. Rays do have one game left tonight, but it'll be cosmetic. Dodgers ended up 17-10. They were sneaky to finish third. Brewers in fourth. Our Tigers, by the way, Kelly, right now with one day left, and I don't know if this can change, but a very cosmetic, uncompetitive eighth.
Yeah, what are they doing? Come on, I saw Scooble having another sick game.
It was just a rub it in our face.
Just threw him out there every night. Doesn't he know what's on the line? Come on.
That's all you got to do.
It's like the World Series. Astros... Oh, yeah, 33-1. You didn't know Circa. Okay.
I did not know Circa. Yeah.
I just pulled up Caesars again.
Yeah. Didn't know Circa. All right. By the way, does Circa have their July up yet? As of last night, they did not.
That's a good point. Okay. When I checked over the weekend, they did not as well.
Yeah, they did. As of last night, they did not. Someone should tell Circa to look at the calendar.
I bet you it's today, though. Weren't they like the day before every month?
All right. July. Moving to July. Now, here is the thing. First of all, the history of us doing this, if you're just landing on this. We started doing this last year. So 6 months of a regular season last year, 3 months this year thus far. The first three months, we were an out away from cashing a 65 to 1 in March, April on the Guardians. We were a win away from cashing in May on the Guardians last year. And then we won on the Astros in June last year, both 25-1 and 17-1, Circa and William Hill Caesars. Great first 3 months. We thought, or at least I thought to myself, I'm so great at this. The last 6 months, meaning the last 3 months of last year and the first 3 months of this year, haven't flirted with any of it. So, first 3 months, awesome. Last 6 months, not so good. So, it would be nice to bookend those 6 months with three good months here to end. So, July is the sprintiest of all of these months because July has an all-star break, obviously, in the middle of it. So the first exercise that one ought to do in July specifically, because there are fewer games on account of that All-Star break, is count up the scheduled amount of games, period. Before you get into who or which teams each team plays, just what's the number of games? And when you do that exercise, if we can pop that up on the board, what you end up coming up with is Toronto, Cleveland, the Angels, and the Mariners, Kelly, play 26 games. Then you got a bunch of teams at 25, a bunch of teams at 24. Phillies and Pirates, the two Pennsylvania teams, only play 23. Now, there is always like a three-game difference between top and bottom in any given month. But as you sort of catch my drift here, the difference between 29 and 26, incrementally less meaningful than the difference between 26 and 23. So the first thing I want to do in July with fewer games is, boy, having more games to play becomes that much more of an advantage. Might be imperceptible, but it is an advantage because it's not imperceptible to me. So the teams that I considered, and I mentioned this last week when I sort of glanced at it. I think of all the 10 months that we've done this, this is the hardest month so far because there's no great team that has a super easy schedule. And I don't think we've really seen that before. Or there's no very good team that has a super easy schedule. I considered the Guardians, who are one of those teams that had 26 games played. Because the Guardians schedule, Guardians at 16-1 at Caesars, super easy. Three at the Cubs, three hosting the Tigers, three at Houston. But then listen, here's the rest of it. Are you ready for that? Because those nine games, okay, relatively hard. Cubs, Tigers, Astros. But then after that, Kelly, four at the White Sox, All-Star break. Three versus the Athletics, four versus Baltimore, three at Kansas City, three at Colorado. But you know why I can't put my money behind the Guardians? Because I don't think they're any good. And I'm an under pre-flopper on the Guardians as well, as you know from before the season. That was my favorite season win total play. And the thing about the the thing about the Guardians to me is they can't really hit. With apologies to Jose Ramirez, that lineup is not that good. The bullpen ain't all that good anymore. This ain't the Guardians from last year that we backed. Cardinals considered at 28-1, pretty easy schedule. Two at Pittsburgh, then Chicago Cubs, but then three versus Washington, then three versus Atlanta, then the All-Star break, three at Arizona, three at Colorado, four versus San Diego, three versus Miami. So you have a Pittsburgh, Washington, Colorado, and Miami in there. But with the Cardinals, you know, kind of middling, they're kind of average at everything. Middling, hitting is up and down. Michaelis isn't very good. Gray's okay. Libertor is decent. Belante's average. Bullpen's okay-ish. Like, I mean, just that's the Cardinals. They're middling.
How has Michaelis pitched in this league for this long? Always just being, man, he's okay. Like, I don't know.
There's so many guys like that.
It's incredible.
Like, call up Jason Marquis. Got $50 million in the bank. Like, all these players. So the team that I settled on, it's a kind of rando. I'm on the Seattle Mariners at 20-1, people.
Let's go.
Mariners start with six games at home that they need to capitalize on. Three versus the Royals, three versus the Pirates. Let's go. Let's get a 5-1 there. Then it's at the Yankees, and then it's at Detroit. All-Star break, three versus Houston, three versus Milwaukee. They close easy, 7 out of 8, at the Angels, at the Athletics, and then one game against the Rangers. Here's the art part of this. And I can tell you this from many, many years of baseball handicapping, both with Dr. Bob and without. The games before and right after the All-Star break can be kind of squirrely. Teams are sort of packing it in before the break, and then they're slow to sort of acclimate after. So their hard part of that schedule cozies up to the All-Star break at the beginning, I should say, on the front side of it and on the back side of that. The easy games are on the outsides. That is why I'm adding a little bit of art to this.
I like that.
They play 26 games. It's tied for the most. Seattle, 20-1 at Caesars. Anxious to see what the price is at Circa and at DraftKings, which didn't have them up yesterday either, if DraftKings chooses to do that. Seattle Mariners, your July pick.
Like that thinking.
Thank you, sir. I'm back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
ProfitX is offering the best odds all baseball season long. ProfitX, peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states. The first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against the against other groups of fans, I should say, rather than against sports books. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with code VSiN and earn up to $200 in profit cash. Over your first month, ProfitX, seriously, you got to check it out. That is, to say it's gaining steam is offensive to steam. It is exploding. It is exploding, no question about it. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Clifford Maher lets us know that July is now up on Circa, and indeed it is, and immediately goes from plus 2650 to 20-1 about 30 seconds later, according to Steve the Proxy.
Yeah, me and Gil out here arguing about odds. I'm like, I'm looking at 2650 right now.
I'm like, 20-1. So back to the number that I got it at Caesars. So someone banged that just now. Scott C. at C. Scotty Book 17. Golf on glass? Did Gil just invent an awesome new sport? No love for Taylor Fritz at Wimbledon? Good grass player. But he has a ceiling. I don't see him beating any of the top tier. Could he win his quarter? Absolutely, he could. His quarter, just to give you a sense of who's in it, Fritz is in the Medvedev-Zverev quarter, and I've always said that Medvedev was not going to get to the final of that. It was going to be a Sasha Zverev-Fritz collision course, and that's what it looks like. It's going to come down to that one match. This is also from, now everybody else wants to talk about Love Island. Bobby Geddes, Love Island is the only reality show I can tolerate because it's so outrageous. Love is Blind, on the other hand, makes me turn into Nick Kyrgios, Goodbye with John McEnroe, constant anger and frustration. Yes, because Love is Blind. This just in, I want you to lean in for this, Kelly. Ready for this? Love is not blind. Sorry, people. It's just not. So the premise is wrong. Xander Horowitz, Love Island airs a new episode every day except Wednesday. Never thought I'd be watching that type of show, but my girlfriend has insisted we try to spend some quality time together before football season starts.
They do a new episode every day besides Wednesday?
That's what I was telling you. They do an episode every day.
I'm going to have to check this out just from a television production standpoint. This is fascinating.
When I talk at you, do you listen, or you're like, his mouth is moving? But I don't
know. Well, you see, you seemed a little uncertain.
No, I wasn't. I was saying every other show is weekly. We've been conditioned to this weekly. This thing is every night. That's why we're way behind. A. Brown, can I send Gil a list of the mind-numbing reality shows my wife watches for official ANG review? I sense a terrible Tuesday segment coming. This is from, Andrew Rin. I was between the Mariners and Jays for July. Went with the Jays as they have a similar schedule, but four to wrap up July against Baltimore, who may have a fire sale before the deadline. Andrew, I thought about the Jays as well. Not a bad choice in my opinion either. 3JackH3131. Started 20 minutes late into the show, and all I hear is, then they bring new hot people in.
Anyway, I am looking at, I don't know where this is, but it's a FanDuel Sportsbook where Love Island last night was the center TV with baseball pushed off to the side.
So 3Jack asked, he goes, is there a handicapping angle on how to get to the end of the show? And my question is, do you mean the end of this one or the end of Love Island? Love Island, I am told by Savannah, our lovely Savannah, who runs the show back here. You think Kelly runs it. Savannah runs the show, believe me. She says that at Circa Swim, at Stadium Swim, July 14th, live airing of the Love Island finale on the big screen at the pool.
Well, sign up now for your private invite with Gil Alexander.
And apparently Jensen Lewis watches this, and we're supposed to bet on this, like who's the next elimination, who's, she goes, yes, we can make odds for this kind of stuff. Who's going to be the winner at the end? Ladies and gentlemen, what does Paul Sporer know about all this? He joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, live from Austin, Texas, from FanGraphs. And of course, the sleeper in the bust pod at Spore on Twitter. How you doing, Paulie? Look, he's smiling. I know he watches.
I'm doing well, Gil.
How you doing?
I don't. My girlfriend does. I'm aware of it. I'm not doing the like, I don't watch it. It's just my girlfriend. I actually don't. I'm not above reality shows, but I don't happen to watch this one. My sister and my girlfriend do, though. They speak pretty highly of it.
They speak pretty highly of it.
You're in for a treat with the Love Island. Yeah. And then there's like Love on the Spectrum, which is autistic people.
I love that show.
Yeah, I've heard that one's fantastic. Love is Blind. Of course, all the Real Housewives. You know, I'm familiar with the catalog. I don't quite partake myself.
Yeah. He's familiar, Gil. He's just busy destroying 15-year-olds on MLB, the show, you know?
Right, yeah, that last part.
Grandpa getting destroyed these days. No. The younger you are, the better. They're destroying Grandpa. They're just putting a quick 10-0 on me so I can go back to bed.
You can't play video games with anybody these days, Paul. Yeah, I've realized I'm too old for video games because the kids are too good. It's incredible.
It's unbelievable how good they are. We got to stick to the old man. That's why I play OOTP. It's a base, glorified Excel baseball simulator, and those kids can't hurt me. They don't know how to work Excel.
Paul, we were just going through the Houston Astros back-to-back June champions in terms of the monthly win category, monthly win market here at both Circa and William Hill Caesars, and we were just looking at July. And the contenders for most wins in the month of July is sort of a potpourri of baseball's middle ground. So you've got the Jays as a contender, at least at a glance, it appears this way. The Cardinals,
right?
The Guardians, the Mariners, who's the team I ended up settling in on. Of those teams, which is the realest? Like, which do you think is the and you can broaden it to the middle ground of baseball as well, that whole middle earth part of it. Which team do you think, or teams, is real, can make a run here to the postseason? And which are you like, nah, they're nothing. It's only going to get worse from here.
You know, I'm really torn on a team like Toronto that you bring up because, you know, their offense really exploded this month. They have some competent pitching. I don't think they're total frauds, but you know the number I'm going to go to. It's the one all of us go to, at least right away, that first level number of run differential. And I see theirs being negative despite being 7 wins over 500. And I'm like, either they're catching up to it and they can be real, or they got hot for June, and they're going to fall off. That's kind of where I'm at with Toronto. So I'm in that sort of mid-ground there. So I'm with you that of the teams that you named, Seattle definitely gives me more interest. You know, Cleveland, I didn't want to discard them this year. I didn't want to, like, completely just say no, you know, sound like a bitter Tigers fan because they beat us. They're not that good. But repeating that sort of bullpen performance year to year is damn near impossible.
Totally agree.
So it felt like they were an obvious regression candidate. And lo and behold, here they are regressing. So, yeah, of those teams you named, I think Seattle, because their hitting's actually pretty decent this year. And it was dreadful last year. We're picking on them and all sorts of things, fantasy, batting, whatever it was, because of their bad hitting. We know the pitching's great. The combo of the two, it's working. They're still only three games over 500, but I like Seattle of that group. In the NL, you mentioned the Cards, and they hit a little bit of a June swoon until they kind of clicked back up here recently. I think they won three or four in a row. I still think they're a pretty decent team. Now, in fairness, that Cards on the table, pun intended, I guess, I stuck with the Cardinals too long last year, kept thinking that they were going to turn it around, because their hitting was halfway decent last year, and it was their pitching. I just think that they're a decent 26. When you add it all up, 1 to 26, I think St. Right. Louis is pretty good, and they're going to make moves, I think, too. Yeah. Last year, they didn't. They sat on their hands. This year, I think they attacked the market a little bit more. They actually ended up selling last year, remember? No, that they bought. They got Fetty. They got Fetty in that Edmund deal. But yeah, I do like the Cards a bit in the end.
Yeah, my comment about the Cardinals is just their average everywhere was kind of my take. Whereas Seattle, like you said, decent hitting, pen slightly above average, starters pretty good. Like, I think Gilbert has underperformed, right? You know, I think
Kirby's back and Groove.
Right. Castillo has it in him every once in a while, right? To be
right,
good.
Right. And Woo's awesome.
Yeah, Woo's great.
You still got, I mean, even Emerson Hancock as your fifth. Is he great? No, but as your fifth, is he a competent guy you can get five innings out of? You know, most starts, yes. And that's what you're looking for out of a fifth starter. That's different on fantasy and DFS and that sort of stuff. But as a real life team, they go 1 through 5 pretty nicely still with a good bullpen, like you said, and now at least competent offense.
Yeah, I should mention Dodgers are the short shot, both at William Hill, Caesars, and Circa to win July. No surprise there at plus 480 at Circa. Circa has some other teams in single digits, namely the Tigers, Astros, Phillies, and Cubs, whereas at William Hill, Caesars, it's a much bigger gap between the Dodgers and everybody else. DFS today on a Monday, Paul, what you got for people?
So it's a really interesting board. It's kind of deep in pitching here, so it's going to be difficult to find your hitting. You're going to have to attack some guys that are actually pretty decent. The aforementioned Eric Fetty, although he might be one of the worst pitchers going today, but he's facing Pittsburgh. So who are you really going to get from there? Maybe like a Brian Reynolds, O'Neill Cruz. But then Scherzer and Waldron, I think, is where you need to get your offense. So Yankees and Phillies going up against a hobbled Max Scherzer and the knuckleballer Matt Waldron making his debut. For pitching, you can go many different ways. Wheeler, Crochet, Webb, Rodon, Kirby, Rasmussen. Jacob Lopez is the sneaky one, though. Really like him for the Athletics going at Tampa Bay.
Okay. And then in terms of your right now team, let's do it the opposite. Team that is in a playoff position right now, which you're not buying into at all, is either AL or NL?
It would be, that's a good one.
I suppose it would have to be one of these American League teams, right?
Yeah. It,
the problem is in the American League, there's no team rising up that can replace them. That's the problem.
Right. Like if I'm kicking the Jays out, I don't really know who I'm like overly confident in putting in. I'm not sure I have a good answer to that question. I don't want to give a busted answer and lead somebody down a direction because they say Sport doesn't believe in this team. I don't look at any of these teams and feel like they're frauds right now that are currently in playoff spots. I think they can all hold.
He avoided saying the Giants, who are one game out of playoff position, but thank you. Thank you for that. Paul Spohr, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. NFL thank next. You.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
No one has ever been more confused by a format than Kelly is by the Love Island format. If you're betting on sports, why not try the races? FirstBet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up at FirstBet.com. That's the number one, STBet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. Head to FirstBet.com. Loser first tennis match. Roberto Bautista Agut loses in four sets. Fourth set tiebreaker loss to Cam Norrie. So 0-1 out of the gates.
Come on, RBA.
For Young Gil. That's not fun. That was a minus 105. So, yeah. Mm, tough one. And Fearnley down a set to Fonseca and down a break in set number two. So that didn't start out very well on the men's side as well. We'll see if things turn here after the first one and change of matches here early going.
Gil, I'm not necessarily confused by the format, okay? I'm asking clarifying questions because whenever I hear anything brought up these days like this, it's, dude, there's odds somewhere. So, like, I found odds.
Yeah, you found odds.
I found odds, but I didn't know it's...
Bovada, Bet Online,
Yeah. Think of this, these are from Bovada. I'm looking at winning female and winning male, so I had to ask how that works.
Yeah, because we don't know the final couple, so they have to separate it male and female.
That's how it works.
Because they're always recoupling.
One couple emerges, though?
One couple will emerge.
All right, so your favorites right now, we got Chelly. Chelly, like my name, but with a CH at the beginning.
Yeah.
Plus 230 for the winning female. She is the favorite.
Really? Okay.
And then Austin, big time favorite on the male side, plus 185.
I could see that more than I could see Shelly.
Austin, Ace, Pepe. These sounds like a bunch of fun dudes to hang out with.
I'm surprised there is not a VD outbreak of some kind. One dude had like a massive cyst on his face, finally went away. Anyway, Kevin Downs, my brother from another sad day, Walter, one of the twins from the Whispers died. Ask Kelly if he can name one Whispers song, then he'll be brother from another. Kelly's always happy, love his attitude, and the beat goes on. Can you name a Whispers song?
And the beat goes on.
Bang, I was going to see if you got that. There you go, and the beat goes on.
I've been Googling,
Rocksteady, you know Rocksteady. You know what yeah. Joe C714, if you can only pick one contest, do you pick Circus Survivor or Millions? I pick Survivor. More fun. More fun, more strategizing.
I think it totally depends.
Totally depends
on
you.
If you're probably more familiar with a Circa Million style because you've probably at some point in your life, I'm just talking to the person who's never played in these before, right? You've probably played in some type of pool contest more similar to Circa Million, so maybe you're more comfortable with that.
I don't know.
But I agree with you.
I think nationwide Survivor is much more popular than a handicapping contest is, but that's just me. Moneyline Marv, fellas, please save yourselves and avoid Love Island USA. Also, the UK is superior. Chance Copperpot, most wins in July, not up yet at DraftKings that I can see. Anyone else see it there? So this is the thing. Circa just put them out. William Hill Caesars has had them out for like almost a week now. DraftKings last year quit after March, April. They stopped putting them out. We were surprised this year when they did May and June as well. Maybe they've decided to quit this year after June. I don't know. We'll see.
Yep. I don't see them up. Yeah. Best regular season records where the only thing they have up in that spot.
Real Knicks, this is fair. He says, the same people who watch Love Island and similar reality shows are the same people who make fun of me for watching WWE for the past 45 years. You're right, Knicks. Checkmated, I am.
That's a good tweet.
Three Jack AJ.
Get
adds,
him.
Three Jack adds, I took the Jays for July simply because Gil had them in his list and didn't bet them. I am such a lock for that right now. And then Jason H11, after listening to the first 30 minutes of the show, and wow, can you tell right away we're getting into the July sports betting calendar? I now know way too much about Hottie Island or whatever it's called. Thanks, Gilly. Oh, trust me.
I had to be brought up to speed because I feel like it streams on about 8 different platforms. I feel like I see it on Hulu and Peacock. Maybe that's it, but...
Yeah. JC, how about Medvedev? One and done joke. Yeah, man.
Done, Neil.
Yeah. And then Duck Fan for Life says, Gil, hot tip for VEASAN listeners. Joey Chestnut, under 71.5 hot dogs eaten at minus 125. 2023, he only ate 62 when the line was 72.5. There you go. Hot dog eating contest on Friday, July 4th. We're here July 4th, by the way.
We are here.
Yeah.
And what? Joey Chestnut back from not even semi-retirement, right? Remember that weird... Wasn't that last year there was that weird story about he had like...
Oh, yeah.
He had to stay out because he signed some... sponsorship deal with like a vegan hot dog company or something like that.
Don't do that.
And Nathan's was like, whoa, no, not allowed.
All right. NFL betting guide comes out tomorrow. Zach Cohen, Adam Burke, everybody did such a great job on this. The entire VEASAN staff has all of their plays in there, at least the ones they've done up until this point, talking about not only like who picked to win the division and that kind of thing on a grid, but also prop plays that they've done. The NFL betting guide, by the way, previews of all 32 teams, best bets from all the VSiN hosts, player props, projections, football special, VSiN Pro Access, $175 through the Super Bowl. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. So when it comes to the AFC East, I made a wager, sir.
You want to start with a little breaking news out of the AFC East?
Please.
The Steelers have finalized a trade to acquire cornerback Jalen Ramsey from the Dolphins, according to Ian Rappaport.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey all summer has been, not all summer, but all spring and summer, has been rumored to be out with the Miami Dolphins, going to be on the outs with the Dolphins, and there it is, headed to the Steelers. That's a nice pickup for the Steelers.
Nice pickup for the Steelers.
What do they trade for him?
Don't know yet.
Okay. Jalen Ramsey, a Pittsburgh Steeler. Well, we knew he was not going to be part of the Dolphins' calculus this year. This is the bet that I made here, Kelly. This is the division. Again, let's just go over. Win total, Bills 11.5. Patriots and Dolphins both 8.5. Jets 5.5. Jets with Justin Fields at the helm now in the post-Aaron Rodgers years, if we can even call it that. Last year, if you recall, Bills won 13 games. Dolphins won 8. Jets won 5, Patriots won 4, and then despite Drake May showing flashes last year. Division odds, Bills are minus 260 to win it. Now, here's the thing. The Bills are the highest favorite to win any division, which is what led me to my AFC East bet, Kelly, which is, here's the thing with the adjusted season win totals now. We've been talking about these, how good of bets these are every year. But books have sort of adjusted the bang for your buck you're getting on these. So one of the things I'm looking at to replace that kind of value is 1-2 exactas in these divisions, which we talk about in baseball a lot before the season starts. Hey, is it going to be Cubs-Brewers or Brewers-Cubs in the NL Central? I think Borchardt had a bet on that last year. I went to the AFC East because I want to know that I have one of the positions anchored. And the Bills, to me, again, barring an injury to, I don't even want to say the man's name out loud because I don't want to wish it on him. But barring an injury to obviously their quarterback, Bills, they're going to win this division. And I think they're the lock. They're the surest lock of any team in any division. And so with the one position anchored, it then becomes a much more simple sort of calculus of who do you think is going to finish second? And for me, despite all the Patriots hype, I still have the Dolphins in there. So I made a bet north of $2, south of $3, on a Bills-Dolphins exacta in the AFC East. Now, the Dolphins, you know, I did end the write-up, by the way, in the guide by saying, don't let me down, Tua. So I am aware that there is obviously the Tua factor. And there's the thing with the Dolphins is, and by the way, if it doesn't go Mike McDaniel's way this year, uh-oh, that could be the end of that. But last year, key players dealing with injuries, Tua himself, Tyreek. Remember, Tua only played 11 games. Tyreek had a down year, worst year of his career. Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb, and again, resulting in only 8 wins this season. In fact, if you look at total number of games missed by injury, last year, Lions number one had 44 injuries for a total of 254 missed games. Browns were next, 51 injuries for a total of 248 aggregate games missed. And number three was the Dolphins. 46 different injuries to players, 227 collective games missed. So I went Bills Dolphins 1-2, thinking that they'll, just by virtue of the fact they'll be more healthy, will edge them into the number two position.
I like that. What number did you get on that?
I think it was plus 265. Don't hold me to that exactly. Somewhere in there.
Yeah, I like that. We've been talking. I think everybody is a little too high on the Patriots for me. I think a little bit too low on the Dolphins. I don't think the Dolphins are going to be crazy good, but man, I think this happens a lot with the NFL, Gil. Like,
pardon me, plus 290.
Plus 290, yeah. Okay. You know, like, this happens a lot with the NFL, where like, I thought last year people were like a little too low on the Cardinals, and then you're like, okay, they finish out the season pretty well. I know you got on them pretty high, pretty high in the middle of the season, and then you go look this offseason, I'm like, yeah, they're lined about right exactly where they should be. So out of the Dolphins, I think we are underrating a little bit. I like that bet. And I do have my one in this division would be Bills most wins just period in the NFL plus 450.
All right. Hope you got on Olga Danilovich, though. She's up a set and a break as we try to get on the board here. Early going of Wimbledon on a 7-match day. What's your bet again, real quick?
Bills, most wins in the NFL.
plus 450. Coming back with Wes Reynolds next.